if you can't play Hudson Odoi in these types of games, when are you going to play them, man? At the end of the day, no matter where Marshy Stadium is, mate, what are you doing? Hey, you know, Steven Gerrard needs to slap the crap out of these guys.
Sometimes I say to my wife, please, babe, don't put posters in the bedroom of Loftus Cheek.
Welcome back to the People's Podcast. As always, I'm joined by my brother,
the one and only Man Like X, always in the building, Mazza, always in the building.
And we got a lot more friends on it. You know, we love to talk to people around the world. And this week, we'll take a look at Chelsea's huge controversial win against Cardiff and the Old Firm Derby. And, whoa, the gloating goalkeepers. But first, let's go to Liverpool, because they set the pace in the title race with a late goal against Spurs. And that was some game, guys, because Liverpool won 2-1 thanks to a 90-minute own goal. Because, you know, there was a cross in the box, Salah headed it, and Lloris, the goalkeeper of Spurs, kind of touched the ball, but right on the knee or shin of Alderweireld, and it went in his own goal. And it was like one of those goals, one of those games that everybody was watching, because it was an important one for two teams. One that is fighting to win the title, and the other one is trying to get this Champions League spot secured. And this is looking shaky, because Spurs has been losing already a couple of games. So you know what? I always like to start with the Gava, you know, because I feel like I want to hear his point of view. What do you feel that is happening now at Spurs? Why they keep on losing so many games in a row? Is it Liverpool or is it Spurs?
Well, I mean, the thing is, Mario, is Tottenham tend to bottle it when it comes to this period of the season. If I was the manager of Spurs, which I did try and actually get myself in there, but I sent my CV and they never liked the look of it, which is understandable because, you know, obviously I've managed bigger clubs than Tottenham. But the only thing that I can see that's going wrong down there is probably the attitude and the morale of the club. As soon as the big boys start talking about Tottenham, i.e. the Man Cities, the Liverpools, the Man Uniteds and the Chelseas, of course, I think Spurs start to fold under pressure. I don't think that, you know, Pochettino's got the right attitude down at Tottenham. I think what he needs to do is sit all the players down and just let them know, look, we've got a fantastic squad, which they do, Mario.
Yes.
Out of most of the teams, they've got a fantastic and well-balanced squad. They've got probably one of the best strikers in the world up front in Harry Kane. Unbelievable player in Son. Yeah. Lucas Moura likes to chuck himself in there as well. Sissoko's come up leaps and bounds this year. He looks like a different player. And they've got a fantastic back line. The midfield's sort of lacking a little bit for me, you know, at the current period of this season. But at the same time, I just think that they've lost their bottle, Mario. They go down to Anfield. It was 1-1 at that moment. It looked fantastic. I would have left, if I was Tottenham, I would have been happy with a 1-1 draw. To concede in the 90th minute, I know, you know, if Spurs have held them to a 1-1 draw, yeah, and it's come up to the 90th minute and you lose your red and you lose your discipline and you let them score in the 90th minute, Mario, it just shows that you ain't ready for this type of pressure. Liverpool are clearly, they ain't stopped. They've gone at it, knocked on the door. Eventually Spurs open and they say, here's a ball, there's a 2-1 win, last minutes, there you go. You can't be losing games like that, Mario. You can't be losing to Burnley. You can't be losing to Southampton. How are you going to qualify for Champions League? I mean, it don't make sense. I think Pochettino needs to sit his team down right now and just say to them, lads, this is the last push of the season. If we keep this up, we ain't going to end up getting Europa League at this stage.
You got the number one stadium. Come on.
It was fantastic. It looks beautiful. But Mario, listen, like I've said before, you could be driving in a Ferrari and be depressed. I'd rather be in a Toyota smiling my eyes out. Do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, don't matter how nice your stadium is, mate, what are you doing? You ain't doing nothing for it. You might wear the nicest clothes in the world and have Gucci, you know, Balenciagas, Louis Vuitton, but you might stink. You need to worry about what's on the inside. I can honestly say if they don't get the win against Palace in the next game, then I'd say that that's their top four Champions League hopes out the window.
It's over.
Because Man United have come back a little bit, you know, Chelsea are still in there sort of thing, doing what they got to do. Arsenal have picked up a little bit of morale now, and, you know, Emery's got them playing football. So we'll have to wait and see against Palace. But I think that result against Liverpool, I think if they took a draw, it would have helped them a lot more than, you know, a 90th minute. I mean, you can't do that if you before. You can't go away to your bitter rivals.
Lloris, what is wrong with Lloris? He gets the ball, he touches it right on his knee and it goes in.
He's one of the best goalkeepers in the world. You don't go and win yourself a, you know, World Cup medal if you ain't one of the best. You
I
know,
agree.
He's done it. He's there, done it, bought the T-shirt. But at the same time, you need to transfer that form from your national team into your football club. And, you know, he's got an unbelievable defence in front of him. I mean, the likes of Toby Alderweireld, you know, Davinson Sanchez, Jan Vertonghen, Danny Rose, Kieran Trippier. What more do you need, Lloris? You know, what more do you need?
Yeah, no, it's true. But now you're talking about great defending. Let's talk about Van Dijk. Van Dijk had a crucial moment in the game against Spurs. They get a break. They go one-on-one. Sissoko's running at him. He's got a player on his right hand side. What he did is really, really smart. He blocked the ball to the other player and then made sure that Sissoko ended up shooting the ball with his left.
The best in the world, Mario. He is one of the best in the world because he knows what to do. If you are one-on-one with a player, what do? You put them on the weak side. You don't let them go on their strong side so they know how to finish. You put on the weak side and you look what Sissoko goes and does. He hits the ball 50 miles above the crossbar. I mean, come on, what kind of stupid player are you? You get £90,000 a week and you hit ball this high above the crossbar. And you have Hoiberg running alongside you. But Van Dijk is smart. He's like Einstein. He says to him, hey, I put you on your weaker foot because I know if you're in front of goal, you might not score. What happens? He doesn't score. Tottenham lose game. Idiots. Van Dijk, very smart. Very smart.
But now we're going to go to Cardiff. There was a huge controversial style. You know, I mean, I watched the game. I saw the points. I mean, Chelsea, you know, everybody knows I'm not lying about it. It's my team. But you always got to be honest because I think they were lucky, especially in the way they played the game. And I mean, sorry, people start singing that Sarri has to come out, has to go out. Why he didn't play Hudson-Odoi, started for England, comes back. He didn't pick Hazard, didn't pick Kante. You could say he rested them or whatever, but Hudson-Odoi, you don't need to rest him. He's a young kid. Give him the start, especially in a game like this. Make him shine. He's huge in confidence now. This is the timing when you should be playing your kid and you should give him the opportunity. You don't want him to go. You don't want him to leave to Bayern Munich. You make him stay and then you put him on the bench and don't let him feature after he plays for his country. Come on now.
Yes, Mario, I totally agree with you, mate. I really agree with you. If you can't play, you know, Callum Hudson-Odoi in these types of games, when are you going to play the man? He's a fantastic footballer, mate. He's such a good talent. And all this hype around, you know, the youth coming through in England, Chelsea are treating one of our best players like a piece of garbage, mate. The kid's fantastic. He's got skills. He knows what he wants. He's confident. You know, he plays with a great style of football and they still don't want to play. Why are you resting him for? Let him play against these kind of teams. Let him show what he's made of. You know?
No, I agree.
It don't make sense.
I agree. But there were a couple of controversial moments as well because I don't think it's only, if just going back to the point that you made, just a quick one, is that it's not only Chelsea. Sorry, because sorry, sets the team out, so he needs to make the decision. But going back to what happened in the game, I mean, man, Rudiger, he was lucky to be on that field. Two moments he had. One when the player broke through, but from my understanding, when you are chasing the ball and you're the last defender, and there were two actually on his side, so that's why he wasn't the last player. But if the player is you both chasing the ball and you trip him, he can only get a yellow card because he wasn't in control of the ball. That's what the referee been telling me. But then you look at the other one, the pool in the penalty box. They should have gotten a penalty. So Warnock, after the game, he said this: "It's the best league in the world, but the worst officials." And I can understand what he means because he had the standoff. Now you understand they were fighting for relegation. The chances for them to stay up is going to be so little because Huddersfield is already relegated and Fulham. They have no chance anymore to succeed.
I mean, if you are looking at the game, I feel sorry for Warnock because, you know, this guy is trying his best. We all know that this guy is amazing when it comes to, you know, going to a team and trying to bring morale and make them more exciting. And I feel sorry for him because he made a great point. You know, these officials are in the biggest league in the world, Mario. Look at the league, sir. Please. Premier League is beautiful. It's the biggest league in the world. The most expensive players, the best clubs in the world, and they are coming down to defeat in this kind of manner. How would you feel, Mario? The referees are crap. What are they doing, sir? Big matches like this, his team could get relegated because of these dumb decisions. These people are not using their eyes. not using their skills. And they are refereeing in big games and making decisions like this. If I was Warnock, I would be on the pitch, slap every referee. Excuse me, Mr. Linesman, here's for you. Mr. Referee, one for you, sir. I would be slapping because I feel sorry for managers that are trying to, you know, make their teams stay in the Premier League because it's the most best league in the world, and these referees are coming along and doing this and making crap decisions, and Chelsea are winning. Oh my God, sir, praise to Lord and Jesus. These referees should not be in the league, sir. No way.
No. I was happy for Loftus Cheek the way he scored the goal. You understand? He caught them by surprise and headed the goal in the last minute. It was a great goal, but I totally agree. You know, Lee.
He's a good friend of mine.
Oh, he's your friend. Okay.
He's my favorite, and my wife is very attracted to him because he's a good looking man. But sometimes I say to my wife, please, babe, don't put posters in the bedroom of Loftus Cheek because I don't want to see his face. You know, I know he's good looking. I know he's a very beautiful man. But good luck to him, you know, good goal. I'm trying to keep his.
I hope the posters are not above your bed, my friend, because that's a bit scary, man.
She tried to put one above the bed, sir.
Oh my God.
She took away everything. I shut the door, picture of Loftus Cheek, sir. Oh my God, I was losing my brain. I wanted them to lose to Cardiff, but nothing happened. God bless. Oh my days.
But now we're going to League One. The team, Portsmouth, they won the Checker Trade Cup on penalties. Pompey beat Sunderland by 5-4 after the game was a 2-2 draw. But not only did they won it, but over 85,000 watched the game in Wembley. That was the highest attendance of the whole weekend of any game. I mean, you have the likes of Barcelona, the Liverpool game, the just all the big games that are around the world in any country, they beat everybody by far. So that's why Sunderland equalizes in the 28th minute of extra time to take it to penalties. So it was a tough game, a very interesting game, but they did it. Portsmouth, they won the Checker Trade Cup. It doesn't matter what cup it is, guys. It's all about winning trophies. And yes, they added some trophies to their nice collection.
That's a good result, that is. I think great result for Portsmouth. I mean, 5-4 on penalties. You know, at the end of the day, you wouldn't think it would have happened. You know, it's a good result. I think it's a really good result.
No, very good. No. It's good. I mean, Portsmouth was at one point one of those exciting teams where everybody was there. You remember Kanu, who used to be there. Just had so many great players.
Char was a great little player for them. They had Jermaine Defoe at Pompey at one point.
Yes.
I think they had...
Boateng, the one at Barcelona now.
Didn't they have Linvoid Primus down there at one point?
No, I don't think he was there, but I mean... I do think that
he was there, Linvoid Primus, if I'm not wrong. But it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, these players ain't there anymore. But they got a good history, you know. It was tough to go down to Pompey at one point. And at the end of the day, listen... They've won more than Spurs have recently. They've picked up a trophy. So, you know, Portsmouth should count themselves. Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, it is a trophy. It's a nice piece of silverware. It's a decent-sized cup as well. I think Spurs wouldn't complain about getting a trophy like that at the moment. But, you know, well done to them. Scary fashion. Their fans must have been absolutely pooing themselves. Because, I mean, to win it on penalties, 5-4... That is scary, Mario. I think you've been involved in a couple of games like that, haven't you?
Yeah, of course I've been involved in the penalty shootouts and situations like that. But you're always nervous, so that's why it was tricky. But another game that was nervous, you know, was the one against Celtic, the old firm Celtic Rangers. It was a great game. Oh, man, what a game that was. Celtic won 2-1. Alfredo Morelos, I mean, people are jumping on him because he got a red card. He showed his fifth red card of the season. It was in the 27th minute, Celtic scored 1-0. Then the 31st minute, Rangers got the red card of Morelos, their striker. And then the 63rd minute, Celtic, it was 1-1. And then in the 86th minute, that was brutal. Goalkeeper throws it out, goes to the defender. He plays it to the right back, right wing back kind of. He drops the ball too short. Counterattack by Celtic. They score. And, oh, my God, the game was over. Because I watched that game. There's this young kid, you know, Ken, the midfielder, you know, great dribbler. He actually equalized for them, for Rangers, and it looked really good. I saw Steven Gerrard being on the bench, getting animated because he wanted to win the game. The penalty was coming close. But this game was a tradition game. I always wanted to experience an old firm game from close up. So maybe one day we have to go together.
We'll have to go, yeah. Mario. Listen, I'll sort out the tickets. But listen here, Paul. Listen, the game was over before it kicked off. Listen, Celtic are 73 points and Rangers are 60. That's 13 points.
Yeah.
Above those guys. I mean, listen, this is no derby. You're having a laugh. But listen, at the end of the day, Celtic got, you know, left with the 3 points, you know, 13 points square of Rangers at the top of the Scottish Premiership. A pulsating all-term derby, that is absolutely fantastic. But, you know, the game was marred by some ridiculous things. You know, I mean, Morales getting sent off again. Halliday, 90 plus 7 minutes getting sent off. Are these guys crazy, Paul?
Yeah, they were fighting at the end.
Hey, you know, Steven Gerrard needs to slap the crap out of these guys. This Morales guy needs to get a smack in the face. How dare he do that? That's bad. That is really bad, Mario. Gerrard needs to grab him by the neck and slap one of those players. Absolutely poor.
No, I hear you bringing that Scottish, you know, that passion hit to the podcast, to the people's podcast. Now, and then I agree. I totally agree. There are some key moments when you get a red card. You should be careful with that. But they couldn't keep that cool.
You need to be smart about these games. You need to have your team set out. Have a 4-4-2 formation against, you know, Celtic and just go there and say to yourself, I'm going to win this game. Every player on this pitch has to stay disciplined. You dare try and do something crazy because I'll smack you.
Yeah.
11 players on this pitch. And they would have won that Rangers, I think. If they had 11 players, I think they might have won that, you know, Mario.
Yeah, but Scott Brown is so clever, man. He keeps on pulling people in. He knows how to play the game now, Scott Brown.
He does, but Celtic knew that they're smart. You know, they said, listen, we let Rangers be the guys that don't have the discipline today and we'll take this win. You know, Celtic, they stayed professional, had their team sit out, done exactly what they needed to do, and then Rangers turned up like the small, you know, those like school children, you know, those guys didn't they have no clue, and they lose the game. That's why Celtic are where they are now, and that's why they're going to win the Scottish Premiership. That's why they're going to do it, Mario.
Yeah, and they definitely don't miss Brendan Rodgers now because they're doing really well. But Scott Brown, he is so clever, that captain. He sucks everybody in, and he makes them get those cards. Do I like it? No. But hey, guys, there is no secret about it. You know he does that he try to wind you up, but if you fall for it...
Exactly, Mario. If you let somebody like Scott Brown get into your brain, you're going to get a red card, and he's a smart player.
So that's why we go to Dortmund. Dortmund scored 2 late goals to earn them a valuable win in the German title race, because this title race is wide open. Dortmund beat Wolfsburg 2-0, but Dortmund has this player, Paco Alcacer. And Paco Alcacer is actually a Spanish international. But what happened? It's not just because I just mentioned his name. No, it is the first player to score 5 90-minute goals in one Bundesliga season. Because he scored twice in the game, but just the way he does it. He loves a 90-minute goal, because I think players who do that, because I want people to be aware of that. That's no luck, eh? That is just, they have the focus at the last minute.
We cared. Listen, at the end of the day, Mario, he's very smart, you know, because if you look at the way he's playing, most players would say to themselves, you know, oh, it's 80 minutes, I've done what I have to do, you know, let me calm down, relax. No, not this, what is his name, Paco Alcacer?
No. Paco Alcacer.
I can't pronounce his name, but Paco Alcacer, whatever his name is, he's always scoring last minute goal because he doesn't give up. You know, he's always fighting. If you constantly fighting, you are winning. And that is very smart of him. You know, he scored twice late in the game to give Borussia Dortmund a 2-0 victory. He doesn't give up. Good attitude, good person, good player. And this is the kind of player I think that other clubs need. You know, he doesn't stop playing. He just keeps on going. And if
if the game is not finished, you try to score. You know, very smart. Very smart.
No, very, very smart. You know, he's doing it really, really clever. 25 years old, so we're going to see more of him. But now we're going to LAFC. In America, MLS, Carlos Villa. If people don't remember Carlos Villa was that player that was at Arsenal as well. He played against me and he actually made us look stupid because that guy is very talented. Such, you know, I always say the left-footed players are way more interesting to watch than any right-footed. And trust me, I was right-footed, but lefties got that little special thing. And you know what Messi does, he's a lefty. But Villa scored a goal. He actually scored a hat-trick, but he bended it in the far corner. What a player. He plays for the MLS side here because there are two. You have the Galaxy and the LAFC, the new one that came in. But, oh, my God, what a goal. Incredible.
Absolute player. Star. I mean, this guy is he's taking the American League by storm. I think Vea scores, you know, I mean, the hat trick that he scored was unbelievable. You know, the guy is an absolute, he's a genius. He knows what he's doing. He's talented. I wouldn't say that the American League is as, you know, testing and hard as some of the leagues that the young man has been in. Because if I'm not wrong, he played for the Gunners, right? He played for Arsenal. So
yes,
he's had experience. You know, he's been to Spain. He's done what he's had to do. He's played his trade in different leagues. But, you know, coming to the American League and in the MLS and performing, wow, what a player, Mario. And it's an honor. It's amazing to have somebody as good as him, as talented as him, playing in the MLS. You know, we've had some good players from the Zlatan Ibrahimovic's to the Beckhams, but this guy is looking like one of those stars, like the David Villas of this MLS league. So I got a lot of time for this guy. Watch him all day. He's got a lot of skill. He's a lot of patience. And I think everybody's really enjoying the way this kid's playing right now, you know?
No, I agree. You know, he's a Mexican player. I know he had some problems in Mexico. That's why he hadn't played for them for a long time. But now he was back. Arsenal, Celta de Vigo, Salamanca, Osasuna, West Bromwich Albion on loan, then Real Sociedad. Real Sociedad for, what is it, till 2017, and then LAFC. He had some teams, though.
Some good squads he played for there, you know, like at Arsenal, as far as I know, he never got the chance. And then, of course, he went away, took a move. I don't know what happened in Mexico. Possibly, you know, maybe some kind of drug cartel got hold of him and said, hey, Carlos Vela, if you want to be here, you have to sell some cocaine. But, you know, I don't know who that guy was. But at the same time, look, you know, he made the right move. He's in the MLS right now, and he's looking like a good star, you know. And I think it's going to be a good end to his career if he keeps on playing this well.
But now we're going to the beautiful games, guys. We come to our one of our cool section. I don't want to say favorite section, but definitely a cool section. And we're going to talk about Piqué. Piqué went to TV and he said Messi is ironical and very funny and he loves to troll people. But that's also a football thing. Let me tell you guys. Look, when it comes to the dressing room, one image is what you see on the field. That's one player. But when it comes to the dressing room, we have our own thing because you're always together. You're gonna make jokes. Like, for example, one day you could come from training and you park your car on a spot, you know it's there. Next thing you know, you get there, your car is gone. Because they parked it all the way on the other side. We did that at Ajax. They'll park it all the way on the other side from the stadium. The moment you find your car, you gotta walk all around the stadium. And we had a pretty big stadium at the arena. 50,000 people going in. And you gotta walk around and try to look for your car. And normally what they do, they put like maybe a blanket or whatever over the car so you can't find it. The moment you find the car, everybody's already home. And you're still looking for your car, man. It's crazy.
It's good. It's good. Lionel Messi is a prankster. You know, he's a joker. He's an unbelievable footballer. And it's just nice to hear stories like this, that Messi can be creative and be, you know, like like one of those, you know, clowns of the club. And nobody expects it from Lionel Messi. But at the end of the day, the guy's got to make something new up. You know, he's got to do something. He's still good at football, so he's got to try and do something else, you know. But I like that. And I like the fact that Gerard Piqué likes it too. And,
you know, it's a different side to Lionel Messi that we never really see. He's like a small dwarf. He's like a dwarf, you know, you could just picture him stealing Gerard Piqué's car, but the seats are too high because, you know, Piqué's a big guy. So I like it. I like to know that Messi's a joker too. It's nice to know.
No, me, I like it too. And also that's why Piqué said also he made a joke about Zlatan. And of course, we all know Zlatan. He said Zlatan came up to him and Zlatan said, hey, money is not important. And then when everybody got quiet and he said, no one answered him because everybody looked at him. He said, but a lot of money is important.
Okay. A lot of money is important, Mario. And Lionel Messi's got a lot of money too. I once sent him an email saying, hey, look, I need to buy a new car. Do you mind give me some money? He sent me back a message, said, you don't have a car because I stole it and parked it somewhere else. I was like, all right, thank you, Messi. Hey, you crazy.
You're crazy, you man. I love it, man. But listen, hey, another story. In Saudi Arabia, top flight football, you have a goalkeeper, Ahud. He plays for Ahud. The keeper is Abdullah Al-Owasir. He loves keeping a clean sheet against the title challengers, Al-Hilal.
What's his name?
His name is Abdullah Al-Wasir.
Wasir. Okay.
Wasir. And he played against the title challenge because the title challenge is Al-Hilal. And he loves really keeping that clean sheet against them. And that's why he did that celebration. You ever heard about the worm when they do on the chest, they celebrate and people are throwing a lot of craziness to him. And he started doing the worm on the floor. This guy is... He went in towards the fans, and instead of like normally you sing or you make some suggestions, no, he did the warm towards them and just laughed and laughed, and then he had to run into the stadium.
Al-Hilal is so much celebrated by doing the warm on the pitch. What a crazy guy. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Why are you doing this, Al-Halil? Crazy, 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 but... You know, sometimes you got to do this kind of things, Mario. He's a very personal kind of goalkeeper. He's crazy. And to do this kind of dance movings in front of the fans, crazy man. But, you know, football is meant to be entertaining. And he tried to make entertaining for us.
But what do you do? If you see your goalkeeper called Abdullah and he does the worm in front of you, what do you do, coach? What do you tell him? Tell me what you tell him.
Sorry there. Let me just jump in a little piece, mate. If it was me and I see him doing the worm, I'd probably run on there and 2 foot tackle him straight into his chest, Mario. I haven't taught my goalkeeper to do the worm. This ain't dance class. We're not listening to Usher or R. Kelly. Stop doing that sort of stuff. You know, stand on your feet.
I think a lot of people won't be listening to R. Kelly for a long time, mate.
Yeah, well, that's another discussion for another show. That's a separate show. Listen, he shouldn't be doing things like that. But, you know, these players need to express themselves sometimes. And it's not just about the footballing skills and them expressing themselves with a great save or a good kick. He needs to have a little dance move and let the fans know that, you know, he's a little bit creative. But I don't want that on the pitch. You've got a job to do. Do your job. That's it, Mario. You know what I mean? Stop messing about.
No, I totally agree. That's how we go to Galatasaray. Galatasaray on the 14 as a player. Beknaz, I'm not going to say his last name. It was complicated, but he's the captain. And he dribbled into the box and he thought he got tripped, but he didn't get tripped. The guy didn't touch him. He fell down. He got a penalty from the referee. And the referee, she actually said, no, it's a foul. They maybe had this discussion, but then he takes the ball, he puts it down, and he kicks it wide just to show his sportsmanship, to show that, hey, this is okay. So that's why we're going to Russia. I want to hear what they would do in Russia if you would do that in fair play, kick the ball wide, because I want to hear what would they be doing in Russia.
I would kill him. Because, Mario, I mean, for example, Beknaz Almazbekov is one of my favorite young players. He's a good prospect, but why are you hitting ball wide? If you have a chance to score against your enemies, put ball into goal. Don't stand here, look at my players, shake hands, say to him, fair play, I don't want to hear. If you are going to score, you score. You are playing for my team, you score. But for a young player, 14, I understand, he wants to be nice, respect, you know, he's a young boy, he likes to make good friends. Hey, come on around to my house, we can have some Russian food, I don't want to hear it. If you are in front of goal and you have chance to score, please can you score? Don't stand looking
other player saying, oh my God, you are my friend, I won't score because it wasn't penalty. I don't care. Lots of time it's not penalty. Do you see Manchester United missing? No, they score. You see Ferguson said to players, don't score, because it's nice, it's fair play. I don't care. In Russia, we are heartless. In Russia, we finish people. We don't let them have second chance. Okay, they are winning the game. But finish, man. You have penalty, stop penalty. You know what I mean? What kind of...
Yeah, but now you're talking about something really specific. But Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he signed his deal and he lost the game this weekend. But what's going on? This week he lost the game again. And I feel like the job started right now. Now the job started. I don't think before that, I mean, you need to bring the happiness, but now the heat is on. What do you feel about that?
You know, Mario, you look at the teams and you think to yourself, okay, Ollie's at the wheel. Everybody talking about this guy, you know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's at the wheel. He's got the roof down. His hair is in the wind. He's looking beautiful. But this is when it starts. And I agree with you so much, Mario, because this is the part when it's so important. You know, he can't be taking his team to Wolverhampton and losing. You want to get that last four finish? You got to start winning now, buddy. Okay, you did what you did against Paris Saint-Germain. You did what you did in the Champions League. You did what you did against some of those clubs back in the Premier League a couple of games ago. But this is when it starts to matter. If you can't win these last games, you're not going to get nowhere. This is the most important part of the season. Listen, I totally agree. Sorry to jump in on that, Mario. I totally agree with what you say, but he needs to start winning these games. Listen, bruv, let me just say one thing. Sorry, Gaffa, bruv. It's got to happen, bro. This guy has got to start winning the last games, because if he doesn't win them, he's not going to get anywhere. I totally agree, Mazza. I think, yeah, sorry about that, Jabs. I think he needs to start winning too. Because if he does, hold on a second, darling. What are you butting him for? No, because I know what I'm talking about. At the end of the day, he needs to start winning these games as well. They're most important. Sorry, I've had to say something. You know what I mean?
No, we come to the end. I mean, you saw the heat, how we finished up. We come to the end, guys. And so we're going to give you the number again. +44 77 96 53 87 28. +44 77 96 53 87 28. You can leave a voice note, ask questions, leave comments, anything you want to do, anything that's exciting. I hope you enjoyed it. It was amazing. And we got our friends all over the world that chipped in again, like always. And it was us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, man, it was a great show. Oh, my little one, sir. The Post Podcast, my favorite.